Why can't APS just pay teachers more?
Can my child really learn in a classroom of 30?
Is public education as bad as the media and everyone else says it is?
Everyone has an opinion about Albuquerque Public Schools. But where do you go to sort out fact from fiction and rumor? Right here. Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast with your host, Mark Goodrum.
Hello, and welcome to our first episode of the APS Open Book Podcast. My name is Mark Goodrum, and we are so excited that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast. You might be asking yourself, who is this guy, and why should I care what he has to say about Albuquerque Public Schools? Thanks for asking. I was a teacher for 33 years and now retired from APS. My wife and I are parents of two young men that graduated from Sandia High School. I am proud of the students, teachers, and staff of Albuquerque Public Schools. I felt it was important that the accomplishments of the schools, and particularly the students, should be showcased to the Albuquerque community. That being said, my hope is that this podcast will become a tool used between the community and the district to help solve issues. In other words, the way problems are solved is by dialogue. I took the idea of a podcast to district administrators, and here we are. With the support of the district, I hope to use my expertise as an educator and that of many others to pull back the curtains on school district operations and give people a real-time view of our 143 schools, 83,000 students, and 1,400-plus employees. The possibilities are endless. So you probably think it would be a challenge to decide on our first topic, but it wasn't. Public education is all about students, so it makes sense to dedicate our first episode to the difficult topic of teen suicide, especially youth suicide detection and prevention. I think you will be rattled to learn just how often students contemplate suicide and relieved to know something is being done about this. Our guests today are Victoria Walreed, District Crisis Resource Counselor for Albuquerque Public Schools, and Nancy Wiggins, special ed teacher at Grant Middle School, and Nick Estrada, a senior at Volcano Vista High School. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. We sure do appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Victoria, let us start with the how. How did we get started, or how did we get into this place where we're dealing with suicide with our youth?
Well, I want to first say that it's a multi-layered issue. It's never as simple as one event happening in someone's life. The vast majority of people who become suicidal are dealing with a mental health issue, and then there are always many other layers to that. But you know, suicide and youth suicide have been a problem in the United States for a long time. It's not really getting any better nationally. And even in New Mexico, it's not getting any better. We can certainly do better, and there's a lot we can do to combat it. But it's about, for young people, it's about having some very serious stresses in their lives and some hard things happening, and then them maybe not having the coping skills they need, maybe not having the support they need, you know, maybe not having the problem-solving skills they need, and not accessing help or you know, not having somebody notice that they need help and get involved. And that's kind of, you know, where it comes from for us. And I want to really highlight that young people today are under a tremendous amount of stress in their lives, or just a tremendous amount from all different angles, and that our young people are aware of their family's economic situation. They're aware of what's going on in the world, you know, locally, nationally. Right. It's a lot to take in, and it's a lot to try to process and handle. It's a lot of stress.
Sometimes I feel like it's too much information, but I mean, let's talk, for example, first the social media aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be, I'm sure it's on the top of the list of those stress factors?
It's definitely one of them. I think Nick could probably speak better to that than I can as a high school student currently and as a teen of what, you know, how that plays in a student's life. So honestly, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Sure. So I won't pretend to be an expert on social media. my friends listening to this probably know that I'm not really big on it. But just as a casual observer, I think it's one of the biggest influences in what teens see, what they think, what they buy. I think a lot of the time, teens like to compare themselves to the people they see online, whether, you know, that's on any of the popular apps, Instagram, Snapchat, anything like that. They like to, you know, see what celebrities are doing, and that can be good, but it can also be not so good because they try and live up to those ideals, and when they fall short, you know, it leads to some issues like depression and suicide, these things that we're talking about today. And then along with that, there's the cyberbullying aspect of social media. It is online, and it's a little more anonymous than what you might see, you know, face-to-face in school, in-person communication. So I think that anonymous aspect makes kids kind of feel a little more bold, say some things that they might not say in person, mm-hmm. and that can have some negative consequences too. And, you know, our words really have an impact, and I think people saying these words don't really realize it, but the people they're directed at definitely do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it comes back to haunt us again.
Exactly.
Down the road. Nancy, tell us a little bit about the atmosphere in the schools when this tragedy comes in to play.
Well, it's really hard on several different levels because as a teacher, we're trying to deal with it, but we're also there to help the students through the situation also. Mm-hmm. So it's a very somber feeling. The halls are always very quiet yeah. for several days after something like this happens. And, you know, we're there to try to support the kids, but we also have to take care of ourselves. And so we're kind of hit from a couple different directions to try to work through this.
You mentioned take care of yourself first. I mean, you're in front of the kids when this is going on. How do you do that? How does the adult, the teacher, I mean, I was there in the classroom, but fortunately I haven't had to deal with that, but you're on the front line. How do you first get your mind in the game so you can talk to the kids?
Well, the first thing is the district's really good about sending in people to help us, out. And we get a script to read to the kids because they have a lot of questions, but we just stick to the basic, whatever the script says. And, you know, it's okay for the kids to see us upset because that's sure. just reality. But we don't go to it in depth. If they need to talk to someone, they can talk to us, but we also have the counselors from the district on site. We have our school counselors there. We have counselors set aside just to see the staff and some just to see the children. So we're there, we try to work through it, we try to take care of ourselves first, like you said. So mm-hmm. we may know the day before, and that gives us time to collect ourselves and our thoughts, but we wanna make sure and be there that next day for the kids
sure.
because they need that stability. And Nicholas, I think you can kind of attest sure. to that.
Like Nancy said, you know, APS does have some really great resources available for both staff and students when something like this does occur. I think students, there's a little bit of a culture. I don't know if it's a culture problem, mm-hmm. but there's a little issue when it comes to talking about suicide with students. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times it's hard to talk about, and students really don't want to. So I would say that students aren't really aware of the resources that are available, and if they are aware, they just wouldn't want to talk about them.
Right. Well, that's why we're talking about it today
right.
with this podcast, because it is a difficult conversation, Victoria, to have. And myself, as a grown adult, I've had this touch my life 3 times. And it's kind of a, would you say, a taboo kind of conversation?
Sure. You can call it taboo. You can call it stigma. You know, there's a big stigma attached to mental health in general. How many people do you know would hold back from telling you that they, you know, busted their knee skiing? It's not really a big deal to say that. Maybe you're embarrassed a little bit, or, you know, it might even be kind of cool. But people don't go around telling somebody, you know, I was diagnosed with depression, or I'm having troubles with anxiety, or I'm just not feeling like myself. You know, there's a stigma attached to mental health where there isn't to physical health. Even telling somebody, you know, hey, I was diagnosed with diabetes or something like that, something kind of common. But, you know, there's a, you know, it's pretty common for folks who suffer from depression or and or be diagnosed with depression, things like that. And definitely there's a stigma among adults. There's also a stigma, kind of what Nick was alluding to, you know, people have a hard time having that conversation. I'm a trained counselor. I've been a school counselor for 20 years, and I still say talking about suicide with people, that's a hard, it's a hard conversation to have.
Sure.
But to lower our suicide rate and to save people's lives, we have to be brave and have that courage to have some sort of conversation, whether it's, let me get you help, I want to help, what's going on? You know, it's, there's definitely a lot of stigma attached to it, and we're gonna have to overcome that if we do want to save people's lives and figure out how to talk about it. And, you know, a podcast like this is a really great start in that direction for sure.
You would think in 2019, everything, social media and the computers and everything, that this is something that we've gotten past, you know, and be able to open up about. Mm-hmm. But that conversation is still difficult. Reaching out to those kids, you talked about earlier off mic that we've had some kids reach out and ask for help just this year, and the numbers that, and you think it's a good thing that we've got referrals.
Sure, to the district. So what I was talking about was over the district-wide, most years we have around somewhere between 1,400 and 1,500 referrals, which means that basically somebody, whether it was somebody talking about themselves, a student talking about their friend, a teacher noticing and coming and saying, hey, counselor, can you talk with this student? So where they talked with the student and felt, I really think they need to be evaluated and get a same-day suicide risk assessment. We have about 1,400 to 1,500 of those every school year. And yes, I do think a higher number is better, because that means we are finding those people and we're getting them some help and we're getting, you know, them assessed and getting some recommendations of where do we go from here, what can we do for them.
Right.
So I think the more people notice, the more people watch, that they'll say something and we'll be able to get people the help that they need. So I don't shy away from bigger numbers. I think it's good. It's kind of like any other health issue that we would screen for or be able to find people. The more people we can find that need help, the better.
Right.
That's a good thing, to find them.
Information is power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, I'm APS Superintendent Raquel Reedy. Thank you for tuning into our new district podcast. In the months ahead, we hope you will continue to tune in to catch up on information you won't hear anywhere else. There's a lot to know, and now we have a place to share it all with you. You're listening to APS Open Book Podcast. Welcome to the conversation.
Okay, we're back, and again, we have Victoria Wall-Reed, the Crisis Resource Counselor for Albuquerque Public Schools, Nancy Wiggins, a special ed teacher from Grant Middle School, and Nick Estrada, a senior at Volcano High School. So take us into the conversation, Victoria, about when you talk to that student that is having a rough part of their life, and to help them through this time.
Well, first, the way they get to their school counselor in the first place is that somebody noticed a change, something different, whether that was mood, eating habits, sleeping habits, a post on social media. We've seen things like, you know, I can't take it anymore, this is my last day, you know, some kind of things like that concern people that see them. It's great when we have friends come and say, hey, I'm really worried about my friend. And we can pull them out of class, and we can talk with them and see, you know, what their intentions are and what's going on for them. Occasionally it's somebody who says, oh, you know, I did really poorly on my grades and I'm really upset, but I would never hurt myself. But honestly, a lot of the time it's students who are struggling with how things are going in their life and that they're not really finding any hope. They're not finding any way out. And people who are suicidal in general, whether it's youth or adults, are people who feel like they don't have any other option. And so what we're there to do is to make sure that they do have other options and that they know there's always another way.
Sure.
So it's really valuable, like Nancy and Nick, their observations, Nick of his friends, Nancy of her students, how closely she pays attention to her students in the classroom. I can tell you, I know for sure, I haven't been in her classroom, but I know for sure talking to her that she knows when one of her students has changed. You know, they've never fallen asleep in class before, and all of a sudden she's noticing they're putting their head down on their desk. And so, you know, our awesome APS teachers are the kind of people that go over and say, hey, what's going on?
Sure.
You know, wake up. I know that's always the first one, yeah. but then, you know, they check to see what's going on. Our friends that, you know, Nick notices one of his friends is going through some stuff and you know, tries to help him out. But those people, you know, asking the question or even just reporting it to a counselor saying, I don't really know what's going on, but I know that somebody should talk to them. And that's how they come to us. And then we talk to them and try to figure out, you know, if they, you know, have intentions when it comes to suicide or what it is they need and try to help them out. And we have a really cool thing in our district that they can get a free same-day suicide risk assessment. Regardless of insurance, their parent or legal guardian, we have them come get them, and we set that appointment up for them. They can go get it the same day. They tell them where to go from there, what needs to happen. Occasionally, somebody even gets hospitalized, or they say, hey, it'd be great if you would come to therapy, and, you know, we can work on some of this stuff. You're not alone.
Right. You're not alone.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the conversations we have, too, when you know, as counselors, we talk to them, you know, we don't tell them we can fix everything.
Sure.
But we can help them out. It's going to get better. They're not alone. Mm-hmm. And this is not the only answer for them. There's a better answer for them.
And that's a big part of it, Nick, don't you think? I mean, are not alone. You've got your friends.
Yeah, especially in high school. I'm probably closer with my friends right now than I've been at any other time in my life. And for any students listening, just going back to what Victoria was saying, if you do see something, you know when your friends are acting differently, you know when something's up, you want to report that. You want to tell a counselor, tell a teacher, just tell someone, because you really don't want to, you know, make that mistake and not report it. You just want to be there for people. And, you know, I think everyone has someone there for them, and people don't realize that. There's a lot more people people care about people a lot more than other people realize.
You hit the nail on the head, my buddy that I lost. I think that he felt like he was alone, you know, and I still struggle with it. But you have to understand that there's always somebody there for you.
Sure.
You know, and Nancy, you see those students every day, and there are so many resources at Grant, and of course, the rest of the district. Talk a little bit about those resources that are there.
Well, it's really nice because our grade level teams meet once a week, mm-hmm. and we discuss the students. And so it's a good time for those of us that have the same students can say, oh, do you notice this going on with this student? Or this is going on, is it happening in your class? So we meet once a week, and so that's very helpful to try to feel out what's going on with the students. If we feel like something's going on, we have several different pathways we can take. We have a wellness team that we can refer them to. We also have a school-based health center that has a therapist. I think it's one or two days a week at our school. And that, again, is available to all families at no cost. It can go through their insurance. If they don't have insurance, the cost is covered. So. We have several different things like that. We have the social worker, of course, at our school. We have two school counselors. So there's a lot of people that the kids can talk to. So if I notice something going on with a student, I can talk to them. And if they don't feel comfortable talking to me, I can say, would you rather talk to this person? Would you talk to this? You know, we've even had them talk to the principal, you know, and some kids just feel more comfortable.
Sure.
So there's a whole array of people that are there for the students that, like you said, sometimes they don't realize it, but they really are. And then when we do have a situation happen, we have the district that comes in and helps us. And you guys have been great coming in and working with the teachers and the kids.
And as you were talking, it came to mind that this whole environment that the teachers, the parents, the students put together at the school, if it's done right, it engulfs all these children, and you feel like you have that family at the school. And these situations, I don't want to say they go away, but it's minimized at least. And I taught at Grant. I know the environment that you all put together there. And Volcano Vista, the same thing, that if you have that kind of family feeling there, and I'm a student going to school, then you feel like, I know I have somebody that cares about me, you know. And so I can understand, Nancy, where you're coming from on that, and I really do applaud the schools for doing that. The services, Victoria, that are available, you have for the students, families, and the employees, correct?
Right. We have employee assistance program services for employees, so therapists available for them. Mm-hmm. We have some for kind of crisis situations, and then for even more everyday stressors. So we're, I think, pretty supportive. And I do want to say, even though you said it maybe it doesn't sound like much, but the connectedness that people feel is actually a big suicide preventer.
Mm-hmm.
So the more connected that people feel, that actually lowers the suicide rate.
Right.
So, you know, what Nancy's talking about with community and, you know, the whole school coming together and that support system, that connectedness does actually reduce suicide.
Right.
And as far as students go, you know, high schools especially have done a great job with creating clubs, whether it's Senate, honor societies, gamer clubs. There's pretty much something for everybody. And those are really great places to go meet friends, meet new people, and make those connections.
What do you do if you think someone may be thinking about harming themselves or others? I'm Dr. David Piercy, president of the Albuquerque Public Schools Board of Education, and we want you to know we care. If you or someone you know is in crisis, please call the New Mexico Crisis Hotline at 1-855-662-7474 or 1-855-NMCRISIS anytime, day or night.
Okay, we're back with Victoria Wall-Reed, District Crisis Resource Counselor for Albuquerque Public Schools, Nancy Wiggins, Special Ed Teacher at Grant Middle School, and Nick Estrada, a senior at Volcano Vista High School. And I know at Volcano Vista High School, there's so many clubs and things you can get into, particularly the band.
Right. And the orchestra.
And the orchestra, of course, and fine arts. But like we said, I need to say this, first of all. When I was a kid, and the reason why I pushed band, the reason why I got into it, it literally saved my life. My dad died when I was 16 years old. And if it wasn't for the band and the band director at my high school in Massachusetts, I wouldn't be sitting here. And so I have a really big connection there. But talk about the connections there are at Volcano Vista.
Sure. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to be a member of my school's symphonic orchestra and student senate. And, you know, in both those groups, I've just had some experiences and met some amazing people that would never have happened otherwise. And, you know, meeting those people, making those connections, making those friends, that's something that's really helped me stay focused in high school, you know, keep my eyes on graduation and the future. And I think if students, you know, feel like there's no one out there like them, they should just look around a little bit, and there probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a place for you.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And there are students like yourself reaching out to them.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's the important thing, Victoria, is the reaching out. Like I mentioned earlier, my friend that passed away, it was difficult for me to come to terms with why he didn't reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I still think about that, and there isn't an answer for it.
Sure. And it's hard because many of us, even as adults, don't ask for help when we need it.
Yeah.
and
is it different with adults compared to kids?
It's really pretty similar. Obviously, youth are going to have fewer coping strategies. They're going to not be as good at problem solving as adults. But we do have a very significant suicide rate in adults as well.
Yeah.
So it's a problem for us all the way around, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I think the key is that we just have to start asking more questions. When somebody thinks, man, I hope that person's okay, or I wonder if something's wrong, that should just trigger in you, oh, that means I should ask.
Yeah.
You know, you can start out with, are you okay? But if you have concerns about suicide, you should just ask a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you thinking about suicide? Are you wanting to die? There's nothing wrong with asking that. It seems like there is.
But what if I don't know the person that well?
Mm-hmm.
I feel weird.
Sure. Then it's key to find somebody who can do that for you.
Right.
Whether, you know, in schools we have these great systems set up with all these teachers that are, you know, like Nancy talked about, their grade level meeting, and they talk about the students they're concerned about for all different reasons, whether it's how they're acting or how their grades are, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's this great system of people. So in school, even whether it's an adult or a student's concerned about somebody, they can go to a teacher. All of our teachers in APS are trained every single year on what to do when they think somebody might be suicidal or if somebody reports that to them. Mm-hmm. They're trained every year in that. Right. So we have a good support system. We have a plan. It's just finding those people. If it's a student and they feel like, oh, gosh, I don't really want to ask that, or I don't know them really well, but I know they're acting differently, mm-hmm. and I've noticed, and they can go to an adult, and that adult's going to take care of it. And the school's going to get right on it. But then outside school, there's a really great 24/7 resource that we have available in our state. It's called the New Mexico Crisis and Access Line. And their number is 1-855-662-7474. Or it's just 1-855-NM-CRISIS. And somebody answers the phone 24/7. This is a licensed therapist. And they have Spanish and English available.
Anybody can call. Okay.
Even, you know, students can call. They can call for themselves. They can call for somebody else.
Right.
Anybody can call that number. Any time of day or night can call that number. And you don't even have to give your name if you don't want to.
Right.
But you can talk. You can even call and say, hey, I'm worried about somebody and I don't even know what to do about it. Or I'm worried about my friend. They're at home. I'm at home. We live across town. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do.
Sure.
I'm afraid to call 911. Many people are afraid to call 911. I know we have APS students whose lives have been saved by their friends calling 911.
Wow.
For them because of things that, you know, they texted to them.
Yeah.
And so they called 911 and said, help, I don't know what to do.
That's crazy. And that's this year.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I would venture to say that's probably almost every year that we have, you know, brave youth that are doing things like that. Add in with adults that are noticing what's going on and asking these questions. But, you know, it's just breaking that code of silence of, you know, wondering in your head, I wonder if they're okay. I wonder if they have something going on. We have to do something about it.
And when we talked about this earlier, I think, Nick, you were the one that mentioned this. You'd rather be embarrassed or have your friend mad at you than the worse.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's no question right there.
Yeah, just step up.
Right, yeah.
I wanted to get in, Nancy, about, because I always go back to the that first year teacher. Mm-hmm. We were all there.
Yeah.
And I know that you said that the district has a training, right, Victoria?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But God forbid that I'm that first year teacher, and then I've got this in front of me. Talk a little bit about to that teacher. What do you think?
Well, you know, mm-hmm. we can take the training, we can talk, nothing really prepares you for that.
Yeah.
But just having the support there, and like you said, our school, we're really lucky because we have like a family atmosphere with the staff, sometimes dysfunctional, but it's a family. And, You know, that really helps. Just being there for each other is the really big thing.
Right. And having a mentor, a teacher there that you can bounce something off. Right.
Right. First-year teachers also have a mentor in APS. I'm part of that program. Right. And so, you know, we try to talk to the brand new teachers and help them through the year, not just with the academics in their class, but also with the mental well-being of the new teachers, because it is tough. They're going through a whole lot. So with the training and the support, that's pretty much how we try to work with the new teachers.
Sure.
But the support's, you know, really big.
And if anything I got out of this conversation today is that support all around, from the parents and your friends, teachers, adults with each other, and just making sure that you know that you're not alone. And everybody cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate everybody coming in today. Anything else you want to add before we put a bow on it?
I just want to tell people to ask. Just ask. We all need to start asking the questions. It's nobody's fault, and we don't need to look at it that way, and we need to ask. We need to talk and not stay silent.
Right. And the stigma has to go away,
mm-hmm.
mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. I want to thank you all for being here today and taking the time for our first podcast, and I really appreciate that so much. The goal of this podcast is to bring light to topics not easily often discussed, and I think this was one of those topics, and I hope that it's helped someone, if you're listening out there. We're going to have future podcasts down the road. If you have any ideas, questions, comments, you can email us at podcast@aps.edu. Our hope is that you, the listener, and us will make a difference talking and listening to each other. Remember, perceptions are not facts. If we really want to make a difference and understand Albuquerque Public Schools, we have to work together. So this is our attempt to do that. I want to thank you for listening. I always want to end with always keep smiling, and you have a great day.
This podcast is produced by Albuquerque Public Schools and KANW Public Radio. Special thanks to KANW Program Director Kevin Otero. Stay tuned for more meaningful conversation in the months ahead.